You are listening to the In Her Flow podcast with Gina and Serena. We created this podcast to help you nurture and connect to your flow, whilst also reducing the stigma and shame surrounding periods.
Each week, we will share episodes that explore conversations with female health practitioners, industry expanders, and everyday women. We are so grateful that you're tuning in to today's episode.
All right, welcome back to the In Her Flow podcast, everyone. It feels really good to be back after a few weeks of
a bit of a break
and really just, I guess, connecting to what we, you know, educate here on the podcast of really feeling into your body and feeling off what you want to do rather than what you should do. So feels good to be here back with just Serena and I. We're just doing a podcast together today on pregnancy, termination, and reconnecting back with your menstrual cycle. And I'll be interviewing Serena on this topic, who has gone through this experience. So it'll be a really nice chat.
Yeah, it feels nerve-wracking because it is obviously something that's really personal. And I know we've discussed whether I feel comfortable sharing it, but yeah, it feels right, and I feel like it's a nice way to kind of ease back into the podcast life. It's been, yeah, we definitely have had a break, and I guess we're trying to practice what we preach in not wanting to force things or to force content because we feel like we have to, but to kind of think about topics that we're passionate about and that we love and that we really want to bring to you guys out of that love rather than out of that we have to or we need to. So yeah, coming in, it's been a minute,
but
coming with this one. And I think this is such an important topic to talk about, pregnancy and termination, because it's wild how many women have gone through it. And I feel like, you know, as two 25, 26 year old women, we both can name a handful of people that have gone through it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is something that is easily kind of shrugged under the rug and like pushed to the side when you are kind of, you know, it's not dealt with so much importance sometimes as much as it should, even though it can kind of count you back in a few years and still affect you. So I think it's something to try and manage better when you are going through that, or to even go back and you know, tune back into if it's something you have gone through.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can share a little bit, well, Serena can share a little bit from personal experience, and you will feel, yeah, not alone in this kind of experience.
Yeah, and I think as well what's so important is having your story heard or sharing it and hearing someone else's story. And I know this happened when I was 20 to going on 21. So I'm 26 now. So it was a few years ago, and I've totally done a lot of work around healing the trauma around that and everything else that kind of happened around that in terms of relationship breakdown and family dynamics and all of those kind of underlying emotions with guilt and shame and having this secret and should I tell people or are people going to judge me? But what was really empowering for me was when I did get to a point of being able to comfortably talk about it with people and share it, was hearing other people's experience. And I was so surprised that when I did come out and tell friends and tell people, a lot of women were like, yeah, I went through that too. And I was like, whoa, it's like this hush hush thing that so many girls have experienced, and it's huge, it's massive.
So
to be able to talk about it with other people and to share your story, it brings you so much comfort and like gratitude that you're not alone. And I know some people that are listening, there's a lot of contrasting opinions, especially in terms of, you know, the concept of termination alone. It's a huge taboo topic. And yeah, like I said before, there's people that land on very opposite ends of the spectrum in whether they think it's right or whether it's not right. It's a loaded topic. And I think, you know, as part of this podcast we've created together is we want to talk about those loaded topics and those yeah. taboo topics. And what I want to highlight the most here is, you know, not everyone has to agree with me that termination is an incredible gift that we have, and being given that choice is a gift. Mm-hmm. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions. But I do really want to acknowledge that we are blessed, and I feel really blessed to have this technology that we can consciously make our own decisions about bringing a child into the world, which is huge. Like, yeah. we've got enough messed up people in the world that I feel like if you're not wholeheartedly ready and in a point in your life where you feel you can consciously bring someone into the world, that yeah, you're given that power and that option to not do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think with abortion being something that's quite a political topic, it might be hard for some people to listen to this and maybe share this kind of perspective. But I think what's important to remember is that you were 20.
Yeah.
You were just becoming an adult. And in this day and age, there is a lot of kind of expectations and roles to fill before you become a mother. And I think most people won't be ready in the Western world to become a mum at this point, especially if things in your relationship are rocky. Yeah. So I think it's something that everyone needs to decide for themselves, but regardless of their political stance.
Yeah.
And I think, it's important whether your family is, has religious beliefs around it, it's really important that you don't judge yourself depending on what your choice was.
Totally. Yeah, and we'll definitely get into that more, but, I mean, the importance of really feeling into your intuition if you are in that position, which we'll definitely touch on later.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not a decision to be taken lightly, and it's huge, and it will, it will affect me for the rest of my life. And I'm still to this day so incredibly grateful for making that decision. Mm. And I'm so happy with the person I am today and the life that I live today. And it brings me a lot of joy to talk about this topic, because if there's someone listening to this who, finds out they're pregnant and they're not sure how to go about it, maybe this could give them some guidance into making that decision. Or if someone has gone through a termination, then maybe this episode will help them to release a little bit of that judgment and that shame by hearing someone else's story and perspective. So that's really the reason that I think it is really important to share it, and just to create that community and knowing that you're not alone. You're not alone.
Exactly. And maybe not everyone is gifted with having people around them that have a supportive and open-minded approach to these kind of things. So hopefully maybe this is an outlet for people to get another fresh perspective. So maybe just going back one step, what was your kind of experience when you found out you were pregnant? I know personally, having many pregnancy scares, it's one of those gut-wrenching moments where you just hope it's not true. But that's kind of, I guess, more of an experience when you're maybe younger. So, how was it for you?
It sucked. It sucked so much. I had been in a long-term relationship. I was with my partner for... it was going on 4 years at this time. I was 20, turning 21. He was a little bit older than me. So it was quite a mature sort of adult relationship.
Yeah.
I had gotten off birth control. I was on the pill for 4 years or maybe even more than that. And I made a conscious decision to get off it because I didn't want to be on this form of medication anymore. But I had no knowledge around the menstrual cycle or anything like that. So we were young. Yeah, I know. We were young. We were dumb. We just kind of had sex and pulled out and didn't really think about it. And I had no clue where I was at where I was at in my menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Ever. I didn't pay any attention to it unless I was bleeding.
Yeah.
So yeah, finding out that I was pregnant was a huge shock. It rattled me so much. And I think one of the biggest things was like, how could you be so dumb? Like, how could you do this? How could you get pregnant? You know, all through high school, it's like, it's all you're ever told. Like, yeah. Wear a condom, don't get pregnant. Like,
don't get pregnant or you'll die.
Yeah, don't get pregnant or you'll die. It's just like Mean Girls going through my head. Yeah. And it was, I think my immediate reaction was no. Like, I'm not ready to be a mother.
Yeah.
I'm 20. I knew that I wanted to build a career. I knew that I wanted to go traveling. I wanted to have all these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that my relationship with my partner at the time was quite rocky. We had had a few issues. I think even before this, we had broken up and then we got back together. So yeah, I remember I had a few weird, like abdominal pains going on. I remember being at uni one day and literally walking through this corso of uni and calling my mum and being like, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. Something is wrong in my abdomen. And she was like, drive yourself to the nearest doctor, go to the doctor. And I went and she did some tests. She did an ultrasound. And even though I had missed my period, it's like no one really asked me about it. No one really picked up on it.
Mm.
And I was sent for these blood tests, but there was never a pregnancy test included as part of that. And I just had this weird, I don't know how to explain it. I just had this weird intuitive feeling where I was like, I just think this should be tested. Mm. And I called the doctor and I asked them to add it to the test. So I think a lot of women have had this pregnancy scare where you're kind of like, oh, maybe I'm pregnant, but you don't actually think you are. I'm sure you can relate.
I think I've had both, to be honest. I think most of the time it's been like just a fear-based emotion. And then there was one time where I was like, wow, like this could actually be it because I'm so emotional. Like I'm feeling quite moody. And I guess having those like PMS symptoms, which can sometimes, from what I've heard, be related to actually being pregnant, but at a heightened extent.
Yeah. And I had no symptoms. Like, I had tender boobs, but that was it. Like, I had no...
It's hard.
No other symptoms, yeah. And also, I was young. I didn't know much about any of it.
No.
I was just kind of blasé, like, oh, no, like, we pull out. Like, it's totally fine. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I remember getting a call from the doctor. I was at work, and they were like, you need to come to the medical center ASAP. Mm-hmm. And I basically passed out at work. I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I remember falling to the ground at work. It sucked when I heard that message. And I tried calling my mum because me and my mum have this beautiful open relationship where,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had no fear of her judging me or anything like that. I tried calling my partner at the time, like probably 100 times, and no one was picking up. And
not what you want in this situation.
No, not at all. I just needed someone to bounce my like fears with.
Yeah.
I was like, this is happening and I'm going to need to face this. And this is really scary. So yeah, I went to the medical center and basically they took me in straight away. And I was like, okay, no one ever just gets taken straight in to see a doctor. Like, this is bad.
Oh, no.
And I remember it was a guy and he just looked at me and he's like, oh, let's have a look what you're in for today. And he goes, oh, good news. It looks like you're pregnant.
Not quite.
Oh, my God. My entire body went, like, cold. I think I had a panic attack. I'm not sure. I couldn't breathe properly. I was just hysterically crying. And this poor gentleman, like, he literally put his hand on my knee and he was like, are you okay? Like, do you need me to call someone? And I couldn't even speak. And he was like, look, I gather this is an unwanted pregnancy. And just hearing like the words pregnancy, like it still reverberates through my body. It's like, oh my God. how did you
triggered
get, triggered like how did you get yourself pregnant? Like, you know, if you have unprotected sex, there is a and you don't consciously understand where you're at in your cycle, oh, there's such a possibility. Anyways, so fast forward like 24 hours, I'd spoken to my partner, I'd spoken to my mum, and I think my partner may have been in a different boat, which I see now, but I was all for not wanting to go through with this. I knew that I just wanted to do too much with the rest of my life, and I didn't feel any judgment or pressure from anyone. And my mum, my beautiful mother, God bless her, she organized everything for me. Beautiful. She just said, don't worry, I'm going to look after this. It's fine. We'll do the termination. I think I was 8 weeks pregnant at the time.
Mm.
But yeah, one of the biggest things on me, I think, was during that time, I was so afraid of telling my dad and telling my stepmom and my sister and my friends. That whole weekend, that first weekend when I found out I was pregnant, I literally didn't speak to anybody. People thought I was like dead.
Mm.
It was insane. I was so embarrassed and I was so afraid of the judgment of people being like, oh my God, you got pregnant. And it wasn't so much for me the idea of like, oh my God, how can you, this might sound really intense, but like, oh my God, how can you kill a tiny human? It wasn't that for me. It was more this feeling of shame and like, how could you do that? Like, how did you let yourself get into that position?
Yeah.
And I remember I totally just cut off from my body. I remember lying in bed. I couldn't look at myself naked before getting into the shower. I wouldn't let my partner touch my, like, he would try and touch my tummy and I'd be really aggressive. I'd be like, don't touch me.
Mm.
And yeah, it was this massive, massive disconnect from myself. And it was only between finding out and between going through the termination where I think the two options, you can take a pill or you can go through, you get put under anesthesia and you kind of go through like a physical termination. And that's what I went through.
Mm-hmm. It's quite intense.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. You know, you go and you have a little bit of where I went. I had a little bit of counseling with me and my partner beforehand. And like, that's traumatic in itself because it's so real and it's so raw. And being in like a nurse's office and them asking you all these questions, you're like, oh my God, this is real. This is happening. So yeah, it was huge. And I think there was also this, like, me and my partner's relationship was rocky anyways at the time. And it was like, fuck.
It's like this huge test almost.
Huge test. Mm. And I was like, are we doing the right thing?
Mm.
I mean, I think inherently I knew it was the right thing. But yeah, it was just, it was a lot to go through. Yeah. There were so many layers. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table telling my mom, my dad and my stepmom, and my sister just holding my hand, and me just totally bawling my eyes out and being like, I have so much shame and so much guilt that I've let this happen, and I'm sorry, but I'm pregnant. And they took it so well. Yeah. Like, they were really supportive and caring. But yeah, it was a time.
Yeah.
It was a time that I don't wish on anybody.
It's so crazy because obviously, I guess to contextualize it, you know, you were 20, probably quite fresh out of high school, obviously. And it's like, you're still living at home. You don't really have so much responsibility at this age. Mm. And it's like, then to imagine bringing a whole new life into this world and like almost, you know, giving up your life or your autonomy to some degree or to a huge degree just seems so bizarre when you've been, you know, going through the HSC and going through all of these things that you're expected to do.
Yeah.
And then I guess like the other thing that kind of really stood out of what you said is like that immense social pressure and shame that you feel around this topic. It's like, it's not even so much the experience in itself. It's more, wow, like you've been told your whole life that this is something to avoid.
Yeah.
That people are going to judge you because it's very polarizing.
Yeah.
And that you don't want to let your parents down or your partner down as well, who may have had different, exppectations or hopes of this experience. So it's like this crazy emotional experience, let alone what's happening in your body.
Yeah.
It's just like such a crazy thing to face in society, when it's like a hard enough thing to do on your own and a hard enough decision to make on your own, and then all this social pressure to face. It's really tough.
Of course. And it's so, and I was really grateful to be in the situation that I had the support from my parents, and I had the kind of relationship with them where I felt comfortable enough to share this with them. I have spoken to quite a few girls who have gone through this and they've never told their parents.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for having, you know, that kind of open relationship and that transparency where I was able to share that with my parents, and they were able to receive it and to give me the support that I so desperately needed at the time, instead of being like, you should be so ashamed and like, get out. I couldn't imagine what that would be like to be a young girl and for your parents to say that. And I'm sure there's many people who have had that experience.
Yeah. Also, like, if you are a parent or someone, you know, who is being told that someone else is pregnant, it's like, maybe take this into consideration, that it's hard enough to really deal with this situation, and then to feel judged. It's just a whole nother, you know, struggle in itself. So
totally.
It just shows how like much of a challenge the situation is, despite the people around you supporting you or not.
Yeah. And it's funny, it's getting pregnant when you're so young. It's one of those things where you like watch Teen Mom and you hear stories and you're like, well, that'll never be me. And then one day it is you and you're like, oh shit.
I'm not that stupid though, right?
Totally. And you're like, but I'm not one of them. Like, I'm not that dumb. And that was the biggest thing for me, is just being like, Serena, how could you be so dumb? You know?
Oh, maybe that's just like, well, yeah, it's a good point. Maybe media portrays it to be like the people who get, you know, pregnant young, they're stupid. Yeah. They're doing a mistake. They're not, you know, they're not using protection. They are having sex too young. Maybe that's what it is being portrayed at, and that's why there's that extra level of shame as well.
Yeah.
Because that's, 16 and pregnant, like that show, I remember, it's like, it's laughable. Like, it's so laughable, and like, you just think pregnancy at this age could never be rewarding.
Yeah. And I think as well, there's a lot of like stigma around, you know, getting pregnant at such a young age being highly irresponsible.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I've always been, you know, a very responsible person. And to then be thought of as potentially being irresponsible, that I could, you know, get pregnant, was like, oh my God, who are you? Like, what is my identity?
Yeah, it's like cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, it was a time.
Yeah. Gosh, so conflicting.
Yeah, definitely.
So obviously this affected you pretty significantly, but can you kind of, I guess, talk us through the repercussions of the termination, if you're comfortable?
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing, and I didn't realize this until a few years on, when I was kind of nearing the end of my nutrition degree and I started seeing an acupuncturist at uni, because I got PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, if people are not aware of that. And so I was trying to kind of work through it and move the energy around in my ovaries and my uterus with acupuncture. And I remember laying down on the bed and I was almost like self-massaging my uterus and like my lower abdomen,
mm-hmm.
and I was feeling things that I'd never felt before, and I was like, oh, the texture of here feels different, and
mm-hmm.
that feels different. And I had this whole realization of like, wow, I have never touched myself like this before.
Mm.
And it wasn't in like a sexual way at all. It was just like, wow, I've never actually taken my hands and touched my abdomen and given love to my uterus and given love to that womb space. And it's like going through that termination completely cut that off. And if you're into energetics, some of you listening maybe, I really think that going through that termination and blocking off that energy to that space was a massive driving factor in developing PCOS. And although science might not be able to prove that, I feel like it definitely played a huge role. So yeah, disconnection from my body was massive.
Yeah.
Especially as I mentioned earlier, not like literally not being able to look at myself in the mirror when I found out I was pregnant, which
makes me sad.
I know, it makes me sad. And I want to go back to little 20-year-old Serena and be like, look, it's okay. You can still
just give her a hug.
Yeah. Just give her a hug and be like, you can still love yourself and you can still love your body. And you know, things like this happen. And again, like I mentioned before, we're so blessed with the technology to be able to make those decisions about whether we want to go through with something that's a completely life-changing event,
yeah,
or whether we want to put it off. So yeah, the body image stuff was huge, and it's probably taken me until I was 25, like nearly 5 years later, to really be like, okay, I love my body, this is my home. And yeah, my work now with doing cycle syncing and making women love their menstrual cycle has been profound in building that relationship with my body, which has been really powerful. I guess as well, being 20, it was the breakdown of a relationship that was really hard as well. There was a lot of grief associated with that. Me and my partner, I think we ended up completely ending it a month or two later, something like that. So there was all that emotion to process as well, which was really hard. That was a 4-year relationship from some of my most formative years, you know, 17 to about 21. That was huge. And you were there through that, and I think I hit it pretty well, how upset I was. But
yeah. Always the stable Taurus.
She's trying to be. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's crazy how, you know, over the years it did always poke through that this was a really tough time for you. And I think both of those two events happening at the same time or a similar time, I think it creates that even more, like that greater emotional separation or effect on your body.
Totally.
And it's, I think we can all probably relate to like having something happen to you, whether it's, you know, whether it's heartbreak, whether it's something maybe as women, like a, you know, a sexual experience that we didn't want. And maybe when we're, you know, falling in love again, we might not open our hearts the same way, and we might be avoidant, or if we're having sex again and then we might dissociate and things like that. And I'm sure maybe that's a similar experience to, you know, your womb space, because it just doesn't feel quite safe to be there in that moment.
Totally. And I know 100% instead of delving into dealing with that trauma after having a termination and having a relationship breakdown with someone thought I was gonna marry, you know,
it's huge.
It's massive. And I think there's this huge kind of loss of innocence that comes with that, where I was like, oh, I'm 20, and I had this weird idea that I'd now been tainted because I'd gone through something like that, which sucked. And I've done a lot of healing around that. But yeah, it was like, oh, now you have to go through life with this big secret and this big trauma of something that you've been through. And I see it very differently now. If anything, I'm almost grateful for the experience because it's brought me to where I am today. And yeah, it was a huge, I think, to realize the impact that that had on me and to like work through it and to heal it, I wouldn't be the person I am today without it. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely been a journey.
Yeah.
And there's aspects of it that still creep up into my life every now and then where I'm like, ooh. But I think as well, a massive effect it had on me was my total fear around getting pregnant again.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's so terrifying. And having sex. Like,
God.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
I know. And I enjoy sex a lot, like a lot. And I was a lot. And I was so diligent about wearing condoms. It was insane. Like, I wouldn't let anyone go near me unless they had a condom on.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, I can get gonorrhea. I can get chlamydia. I don't care if I get those. But, like, I am not getting pregnant.
I can get paralyzed drunk. Yeah. And I'll still remember to get the condom out.
Totally. There was, no matter what state I was in, a condom was to be worn. Mm. And it sucked because there was a massive fear base around having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was even a period of time where, like, after I had sex, I would literally make sure the condom hadn't broken or there was nothing around it, or, you know, I was petrified of going through that again.
Fair enough. I feel like I would be the complete same because it's, I think everyone that I know, every woman that I know has had a pregnancy scare or has been through like a week of just like not knowing what's going on, if they are pregnant or not. And it's the most anxiety provoking experience. I don't think guys will ever understand what they put us through when they're not sure whether they've pulled out on time or if their condom broke. Like, it's just awful when you're not planning for it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, going through that already, knowing that it's possible, it would just be, it would be very tainting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, even now being super in tune with my cycle and knowing exactly where I can get pregnant and where I can't get pregnant, I still, it's definitely quietened a lot, but I still kind of have that voice in the back of my head that's like, don't get pregnant. And it's not a voice of being like, don't get chlamydia, don't get gonorrhea, don't get an STD. It's just, don't get pregnant. That's why I think it's so important for women to share their experiences and to talk about it, because it's so multi-layered and multifaceted, and there's so many emotions involved, there's so many, you know, weird relationship dynamics involved, whether you have had a long-term partner, short-term partner, casually sleeping with someone, God forbid, you've had a sexual trauma and that's resulted in an unwanted pregnancy. There's just so many levels of like emotional and physical and spiritual and, you know, just so many different aspects that really need to be nourished and healed afterwards. And I wish I could go back to my 20-year-old self and really listen to the parts of me that needed attention and that needed to be healed and needed to just talk about it and process it, because I didn't. I buried it down for so long. And then it kind of started coming up when I would develop a new relationship with someone, or my younger sister got pregnant, which completely triggered everything else again, because she got pregnant at the same age that I got pregnant. But it was massive, but she had a very different, she wanted to keep it. And yeah, that's a whole conversation in itself.
Well, I guess, you know, with that whole kind of experience and then self-reflection, seeing how far you've come through, you know, doing your degree, working on yourself, would you kind of recommend to people going through the same experience, whether they are, you know, at the beginning of their 20s or maybe later on and not sure how to whether they want to keep it? What would you recommend they consider before terminating?
I think first and foremost, and of course this totally varies across different people, all I can kind of comment on is my own personal experience, and maybe that can shed light on someone else's experience. But yeah, first and foremost is to just go easy on yourself. Don't, and this is harder said than done, but I mean, easier said than done, sorry.
We got there.
It's hard to do. But yeah, to go easy on yourself and not judge yourself and to not hate on yourself and be like, oh my God, why?
Mm-hmm.
But to just take it as, okay, this is going to be part of a journey of my life. And to really tune into your intuition and your gut instinct, which I really believe is right. Yeah. And I know for me, my initial gut instinct was this isn't your journey to become a mother right now. I always wanted to be a mum. I still do want to be a mum. And I know that I will one day. But at that time in my life, that wasn't right. And it was hard because there was a lot of chatter in my head that kind of said, oh, are you making the right decision? What will people think of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my conscious brain kept questioning it and questioning it. But my intuitive gut feeling was no. So as scary as it may be, whether you find out you're pregnant and it is a yes or it is a no, to really listen to it and to kind of sit on it, and you don't need to make a decision straight away. Most people, actually, I won't broadly say most people, but I think a lot of the time when people do find out they're pregnant, they're still kind of in a safe zone where they can get a termination. So you don't have to make your decision then and there. You can mull over it. If you have people that you trust, like your friends, if you can talk to your family about it, that's amazing. If you can talk to your partner about it, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
But have an open discussion about it. Weigh up the pros and the cons. And if you want to go through with having a baby, that's amazing. Make sure you talk about it, you know, with the people around you and really kind of understand, I don't want to say the repercussions because I feel like repercussions sounds bad, but the responsibility that you do take on becoming a parent, and it's not to be taken lightly. I think having a termination or becoming a parent is not to be taken lightly. They're both
hard choices
on opposite ends of the spectrum. But yeah, just to really speak to someone you trust and to voice all of your feelings, even if that's to a counselor, you know,
definitely. Because
it is a big decision. So yeah, really going easy on yourself, listening to your gut, speaking to someone you trust, and yeah, acknowledging all of those different emotions. Like I mentioned before, I experienced shame, I experienced anger, there was guilt, there was elements of sadness. There was grief, there was a stupidity, there was heartbreak from a relationship ending.
It's so layered.
It's so layered, but feel all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to feel, I just wanted to numb it out, and feeling is so important. It's so, so important.
Yeah.
And it helps you to move through it, it helps you to process it. So, even if it's journaling or just verbal diarrhea-ing onto someone, like, all of this is going through my head, I just need to voice this. It's so important for you making that right decision. And I think if you do go through a termination, it's allowing yourself to heal and to talk to people afterwards about your experience and what you may be going through, and even if that's a professional. And I know I didn't give myself that space. and I really wish that I did. But yeah, not to just push past it and be like, oh yeah, that's something I went through, because it's huge. It's sometimes one of the biggest thing, like it's one of the biggest things I've gone through in my life thus far. I'm only 26 years young, but it was a huge decision. So yeah.
I'm proud of you. It's such a, I think it's such a fear that a lot of us do carry, from what I know from myself and a friendship circle.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Like you said, it's not easy whether you choose to have a child at an age, you know, when you're just becoming an adult, or whether you choose to terminate. So it's just it's a hard decision to make and a hard space to be in. But I really like your point about really just feeling everything that's coming up for you.
Feeling the feels.
Feeling all the feels, like how, no matter how uncomfortable it is, it's just, oh, like the older I get, the more I realize just like how quickly you can kind of process things, how much more quickly you can move past things, and that more resilient you can be when you actually let yourself feel, rather than just pushing it down when it gets too uncomfortable and going to party or pretending like it doesn't bother you or affect you or don't talk about it. It's just going to linger, and it's going to keep affecting you and how you show up in the world in your future years.
Festers.
So, it freaking festers. It's like chewing gum. It just like sticks to you no matter how much you put your foot up. It's still going to be on that the sole of your feet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's really, really good advice.
And it can be hard to do, like sitting in the fields, that's painful.
Yeah,
like it's definitely an easier way out to just numb it and to push past and to keep going. And that's what I did. I just partied and drank and hung out with my friends and just kind of thought I had moved on and like moved through it.
Yeah.
And it came back to bite me in the bum a few years later.
Yeah. But in saying that, like sometimes you're just not ready to face it as well. And sometimes you just kind of need to actually get yourself out of a rut and feel good again and have a distraction. So, you know, it depends on your circumstances, but if you're able to have the time and the place to kind of move through it, definitely take the time, but also don't forget to move on with your life and, you know, be around the people that you love and do the things that you love to do and start feeling good again. Because that's all part of the healing journey.
Absolutely.
That's how I would feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful. So I guess, you know, we've touched on this a little bit, but how would you kind of, I guess, recommend that women who have gone through this experience can reconnect and trust in their body again, you know, especially maybe feeling ready to have sex again, feeling safe in that experience, and maybe not feeling anxious around that whole experience as well.
Yeah, which is huge.
Yeah.
I guess in the part of reconnecting with their body, that self-love is huge, and maintaining that connection with your physical body is massive. And I think for me, aware, and I know I did this, it took me years later to be able to reconnect with my body, but a lot of it was self-touch and self-massage and exploration. And as I mentioned before, being in that acupuncture space and just, you know, touching my abdomen and being like, wow, this is what this feels like. And to touch your arms and your legs and your body, and to just, you know, love and connect with this space that is your home essentially for the entirety of your life while you're on this planet anyways, and to just to give it love, and to, and this sounds crazy, but even like talking to your body and, you know, to thank your womb space and your uterus for healing and for, you know, acknowledging that it's gone through a termination and allowing it to, almost allowing your body to grieve through that as well. But Yeah, that self-touch is huge. Even if it's just placing both of your hands on your abdomen and taking really deep breaths,
mm-hmm.
and tuning into how it feels, and if you can notice any sensations or like blockages, or some people even see almost like colors and they can like feel shapes and things like that, if there's any of that going on, just to really feel into it.
And
if you need external support in clearing energy and things like that, seek out like a Reiki practitioner or someone that's going to help be able to rebalance that. So that is really important. And I think for the most part as well is that body literacy, which I touch on a lot on social media, is understanding how your body works. And understanding the menstrual cycle. I think in terms of having sex again and engaging in an activity that once caused you, as an outcome, a lot of trauma. Is to really understand the mechanism of how you get pregnant and understanding the different phases of your cycle and at what stage of your cycle you can get pregnant, so you can empower yourself with the knowledge and the tools rather than being afraid. And I know I did this as well. I was like, it's so funny, I was like, science is bullshit. Like, you can get pregnant any day, anytime, anywhere. And I was so petrified and I had so much fear that I almost didn't want to believe science, where I was like, what do you mean there's only 5 days you can get pregnant?
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
I got pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. Empowering yourself with how your body actually works is so, so rewarding. And you know, you can research it online, you can seek professionals. There are a whole bunch of fertility awareness methods. There is a book, I can't think what it's called now, I think it's I'll add it to the show notes, but her last name's Wershler. It's totally just escaped my mind right now. I'll add it to the show notes, but Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which is an incredible book where you can learn about the menstrual cycle, you can learn about fertility awareness based methods, learn about your changes to cervical mucus so you can know when you're ovulating, which is when it's like your prime time to get pregnant. But yeah, that's massive in helping you to reconnect to your body, because you're understanding what it's doing, and it's massive in helping you to kind of feel safe to have sex again.
Yeah.
Because you know when you can get pregnant and when you can't. Which is empowering.
100% I couldn't agree with you more on that. I think especially, and this is especially relevant for anyone who is interested in natural contraception, you know, who doesn't want to be on the pill or have some sort of hormones or device placed into their body. I know from personal experience, being off the pill for the last 6 or 7 years now, and being in a relationship, and it makes such a difference in trusting yourself and being able to actually take the right measure throughout the cycle, whether that is having, you know, using a condom during the stages where you are fertile, or, and just kind of growing that trust within yourself, because that's I think what it does is a trust muscle, and the more you do it and the more you kind of try out things in a safe way, using the right kind of, you know, measuring your basal temperature and your mucus, you do grow that kind of connection with yourself, and then again, if you have a partner, with your partner as well. So I think that's just body literacy is so immensely incredible in so many ways. That's such a
and gift. Almost undervalued. Like, I know I try and teach my clients with fertility awareness methods is understanding changes to your cervical mucus, which some people don't even, they've never even looked into their undies or looked at their discharge. It's just this kind of ill, gross thing.
It's been like shame.
So much shame and and taboo. Like, I remember if I was in high school and I brought up the word discharge, I'd be like, ooh, like, this freaks me out.
It's gooey.
Yeah. And using methods such as taking your basal body temperature and charting is, yeah, it's so incredible for you to learn the tools to literally take charge of your own fertility, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's so empowering. And I think it's so interesting how, you know, back in the, I don't know when it was, maybe the 60s or something, when the pill came out, and that was so empowering for that generation, because you didn't have to worry about getting pregnant so much. And then now it's kind of going back to how it was beforehand and actually learning your body, because you realize, you know, having this tool that can be amazing in preventing, you know, things like abortion, unwanted pregnancies,
but
it actually really disconnects you from yourself, because you can just put a band-aid on it and you can have some sort of like bridge that doesn't make you learn more about yourself.
Totally. And again, similar to, you know, termination being an option for us, I do think it is amazing that we do have contraceptive pill as an option for us.
Definitely.
And of course, you know, tracking your cervical mucus and tracking your basal body temperature as a form of natural contraception, that may not work for everyone. And I think as long as you're informed about your decisions and why you're making them, then that's going to be the best way forward for you and for all women.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, there's no shame in also taking, it's contraception or anything like that. It's more just knowing your choices. Because a lot of people don't know about other choices. They feel like that's that, or condoms are their only choice, which it's not.
And you're not often given that choice by, usually most people go to the doctor, and they don't talk about fertility awareness-based methods. So, yeah, that's what I really empower my clients to do. And, yeah, reach out if you want to learn more about it, and or reach out to another practitioner you know that does it as well, and start getting inquisitive and learn about your body. And, yeah, it's amazing. And it profoundly connects you to yourself on a completely different level than just your fertility. Which is really beautiful.
Definitely. And I think on that note, also just want to highlight how, you know, this experience, this abortion, has really led you to a path of really understanding yourself better.
Yeah.
And how, you know, things that might seem quite traumatic or difficult at a certain point in time can actually be that kind of stimulant that generates a whole new path for you and a whole new level of being and understanding. So, you know, whoever might be going through this, take Serena as an example, and for, you know, how your life can kind of pan out, and for what this might be teaching you in your personal or professional life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that experience sort of, it led me to where I am today. Like, when I was studying nutrition, there was no, I had no idea that I would want to be working with women on their menstrual health and their fertility, and teaching them natural contraception methods, and teaching them there was a way to take charge of their fertility that wasn't just going on the pill or using condoms or abstaining, which is what they teach you in high school. It's like, don't have sex if you don't want to get pregnant.
Yeah, it's the only 100% way to avoid it.
absolutely. And yeah, just the ability to share my experience today with other women and hopefully make, you know, someone, if not just one person, not feel so alone and feel like she can, you know, resonate with someone else that's gone through a similar experience. And I'm always down for a chat if anyone ever wants to reach out and to share their experience or to talk about it. I would absolutely love that. And I think having your story be heard is such a massive part of your healing journey.
Yeah. Definitely.
So yeah, I open and invite that conversation. And yeah, it's so incredibly empowering to be able to connect with your body and understand what exactly is going on.
Yeah.
And to then be able to carry that across all other aspects of your life, and being so secure in yourself and your home that you can be secure in other areas of your life. It's like, yeah, I've got my own back, like, I know what's going on.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's, you know, I think it's really amazing that we do have all these like practitioners and, you know, doctors available to us. But if you actually can be taught the tools to understand what's going on within your own body, you, after a while, you will be able to kind of make judgments without having to run to get another opinion, because you'll intrinsically know.
Yeah.
You know, when I look back at my youth, and the amount of times I thought that my cervical mucus was an STI or a yeast infection, you go straight to the doctor, you get like a test done, and most of the time they just go, oh, it's fine. It was just, you know, you're just ovulating or...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. There's...
If they give you that information, otherwise they might just be like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Yeah.
Literally. So it's, you know, in moments like that where you can actually just have that little bit of faith in yourself and that understanding. So I think investing that time and money into someone who will actually sit down with you and give you the tools, it's so much more beneficial in the long term. You know, not to say that doctors don't have their time and place, but potentially you don't need to run to get validation or an explanation from someone for little things like that each cycle. So
I've mentioned before, and I could mention 100 times, it connects you to yourself.
Yeah.
And really understanding yourself and what's going on and being able to read your body signs it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's totally transformed the relationship I have with not only my cycle, but my entire being and my entire body.
100%. And yeah. And I'm so proud of you for finally coming out and, you know, telling your story, because I think, you know, it is something that's really hard to open up to and can be quite nerve-wracking. But I think it's really beneficial for other people to know. And I think especially in this context of, you know, actually seeing kind of a way out of it as well. So being able to kind of know what to do rather than just moving through the kind of grieving stages, but knowing how to then empower yourself and make better informed decisions.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening, obviously, you know, you can reach us at Inner Flow, you know, both Serena and myself, Gina, and share your stories. But also, how can listeners get in touch with you, Serena? You know, you're a nutritionist. She has her own business. So maybe you can give us a little bit of information about that.
Yeah. So... I mean, if you want to, I mean, just connect and chat, you can find me at, it's on Instagram, SerenaCoventry_, or you can jump on my website, authenticgoodness.com.au, which is the name of my nutrition business. And yeah, I hope this episode was able to bring... I don't know, almost like wrap you up in this warm hug and to just make you feel nurtured and kind of understood and, you know, be able to resonate with someone that has been through a difficult experience similar to yourself, and that there's other women out there that are going through this as well. And yeah, you know, slide into my DMs if you just want to chat about it and just voice your experience. I'm always open to that. But yeah, thank you, Gina, for holding the space for me to be able to share it. And it's scary. It's super vulnerable and it's super personal. And yeah, I hope that, you know, some of you listening have really got a lot out of this. And, you know, if you're ever in a situation where you need to get a termination or you've had a termination, I hope this gives you a little bit of guidance and a little bit of a hand holding to go down a path that can be really uncertain and really scary. So yeah, thank you guys for listening. And yeah, if you like this episode, leave a review, like it, save it, share it with someone else that needs to hear it, and we will be back soon with more.
All right, thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. We love you. Speak to you soon. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us in this week's episode on the In Her Flow podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review if you loved this podcast episode.
Even better, share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from this information. Our mission is to normalize period talk and help women to tune in with their cyclical bodies.
See you next week.